Good evening, good evening. Guten Summer to everybody. Guten Summer. The Ramban famously says that Sfiras HaOyim is a little bit like Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. It's like Chol HaMoed. And the meaning of that is, as Moshe explains in Droshes, that the Pesach itself doesn't make sense independently on its own. It doesn't make sense to just go free from Chayrut, free the freedom that we symbolized and that we learn and that we relive during on Pesach. The freedom itself is meaningless if it doesn't lead to anything specific. If it doesn't lead to Kabbalah Sotah of Shavuos, then it's a meaningless freedom. The freedom that we achieved in Mitzrayim has to lead to Kabbalah Sotah. Hence, the connection between Pesach and Shavuos is essential, because it has to, the freedom, the Chayrus, the one Chayrus saying, who has to lead towards Shavuos. And that's represented by the Yemei HaOmer, by the days of the Omer, which connect both, and hence it's like a Chol HaMoed. It's also very interesting that we find in the Omer, there's two things really happening simultaneously. On the one hand, there's the preparation towards Kabbalah Zatayra. We know we count the Omer towards Shavuos, towards Matan Torah. On the other hand, there is various Minhag Avelus, as we know, whether you keep the first half, the second half, or whichever half you keep. But there is some Minhag Avelus, because we know the Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva died in that time. So there is that element of Avelus as well, which in a way seems to be contradicting, and there's various approaches in the Achronim, but I think that maybe on the onset, maybe something which is just a posh thought is that Avelus of the Talmidim of the many Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva dying, it shows a certain introspection. There were only some Talmidim which survived, and a minute of Talmidim survived, and the rest didn't. And that itself is, of course, Avelus, but more than anything else, about thinking, okay, I got the freedom, I got the Chayrus, I got everything, but now, what should I do with it? What does it mean? What can I do with it? Now, how can I prepare myself towards Shavuos? So these are all days of self-discipline, of self-work, and that's why really it's not a contradiction. The hachana towards Shavuos has to do with that inner work on oneself. But having said that, we are towards the end of Siman Shin Gimel. Yes, it did miss a few days, so we're going to try to make up for it over the next shiurim. We are towards the end of Siman Shin Gimel, bottom of page study base, which is Sif Chof. But literally, bottom line is of that page in Siman Shin Gimel Tzif Chof, and the halacha is as follows: Abanos Ktanos Shenoikvim Oznem. We're talking about Banos Ktanos, young girls, Shenoikvim Oznem, that they make holes in their ears. Where would they make holes in their ears? That's right, in order to wear earrings. So Abanos Ktanos, the young girls, Shenoikvim Oznem, they make holes in their ears. Kedei Losei Slohem. To making holes in the ears in order that in future they'll be able to put earrings in there. And in order that the holes shouldn't grow back together, they put a little wood piece inside that hole which they've just pierced, that they shouldn't grow back together. I think today they do something not that different than that. But that's how they do it in those days. You make a hole, and then after you put a little wooden piece they would insert in that hole. Mutalotzes b'hem, those little wooden pieces, you're allowed to walk out with them. These girls, they're allowed to walk out with it. Mutalotzes b'hem, they're allowed to walk out with it. V'hu adin, and similarly, im noistin chutzim b'oisom nekovim, if they put strings, for the same purpose again, you put strings in those ears. If you put strings in those holes, that's permissible as well. The strings which are inserted there for that purpose, that's also okay to walk out. This, as long as they are not tzvim, they are not colored. If there are colored threads which are in there, also if it's colored, then it's a problem. What's the difference in colored threads and non-colored threads. Oh, that's right. Absolutely. Also, Mishnah Berurah says if cotton ein tzvuim also. Why is it if it's colored? It's a problem. The chshuvim heim. Dilma shlofim mechavai. That's because it's chshivas. It's not bottle. If you look into if cotton samachtesi, it explains. It's not. If you have those little wooden pieces in there, all the strings, then the simple strings or the wooden pieces, then it's ochabach. That's a normal thing. It's a normal thing to go out with it. It's not a masui at all. And that's fine. It's bottled to the goof. It's bottled to the ear. It's nullified, and it's something which they're allowed to walk out. However, once it becomes a fashion thing, if it becomes like a chosh fancy to have colors to it, then it's not a tachshit. It's not jewelry yet. It's not the actual earring yet. Earring, of course, is mutter. It's an earring. It's a piece of jewelry. But that's not an earring. It's just like color. They're just trying to make this thing quite colorful and quite nice. And therefore, it's going to be also because it's not a jewelry yet. It's not a piece of jewelry. And at the same time, it's not bottled to the goof. A little on the side. I'm not 100% sure about that. It's just a thought which I had as we're learning this. We're talking about bonus. How old do you think are those girls? I tell you why I'm asking. Because generally, if a child does a melocha, a cotton does a melocha for his own sake, do you have to stop them? He does for himself, cotton shaloi gia lechinuch, the halacha is, a child which is not gia lechinuch, if he does a melacha for himself, for his own sake, doesn't do it for you, doesn't do it for the parents, he does it for himself, the halacha is, you don't have to stop him, you don't have to stop. A child who does a melacha for himself, shaloi gia lechinuch, he doesn't have to stop him. So I was just curious over here, this is clearly a melacha that she does, that girl does for herself. She's walking out with his earpieces, and she's doing it for herself. So really, what's the whole nidden over here? Do we have to stop? Do we not have to stop? I'm saying, why do we have to stop in the first place? She wouldn't put it herself. No, but she does it for herself. The putting is not the problem. It was put in before Shabbos. She's now walking out with it. She's older. Okay, so that could be pshat. I don't know how old she is. I don't know if she's 4 years old, which assumably should be kotchloi gyalachinuch. As far as it's always concerned, yeah, then I think it would be more. Then it wouldn't be a shaila. If she's 4 years old or something like that, I would have thought that probably she's not a gel chinuch, and it would be there's no shaila at all. So we must be talking about an 8-year-old girl or so. Could be. I have no idea when they would pierce those ears. I don't know. But I just it's interesting. I didn't see that within the poskim discussing it. I didn't see anything about it. But to me, it sounds like. To me, it sounds like it would be big enough kamina. Right, okay. So what do they do nowadays? What's nowadays? Anybody? What do they do nowadays? Pardon? How does it work nowadays? They put little studs, right? And now what do you think about those? So you say that it should be fine? Yeah, you think that it's like a wooden thing? I don't know what you Abba Yisrael, what do you think? Nowadays, anybody had daughters, you know, ears, earrings, ear pierced? No, you have sisters, daughters, nieces, anything? What do they do? Yeah, and you don't have to walk out with this?
Yeah.
Why? Oh. So I think the answer is because nowadays they are more elegant, and they would go into the category of jewelry already. As for a little girl like this, it's considered a piece of jewelry, and therefore it is mutter al mitam jewelry, mitam tachshit, and therefore it's not a masui. So it doesn't go into this category over here, so it wouldn't make a difference if it's colored or not colored, if it's colorful or not colorful, it doesn't make a difference, because it's just a piece of jewelry already, as far as that girl is concerned. Seif Chav Aleph. Yoit says Isha Ra'ula. Now this is I think this culturally and historically, this is very interesting. A Ra'ula is actually, as Shulchan Aruch says, they covered their heads completely, excluding the face. What does that remind you of? Yeah. It's the equivalent of the head coverings that we found by our cousins. So Yoit says Isha Ru'ula, it means with this veil, this pardon?
Hijab.
Is that what it's called? Hijab? Yeah, so a lady is allowed to walk out with this. V'hu, she means Atevas kol roi shechutz me'aponim. This is as long as she covers her whole chutz me'aponim, excluding the face. So a lady is allowed to walk out with this. I imagine the reason why they wore this is for tznius reasons as well. But yes, she's allowed to walk out with this. It covers her completely, and she's allowed to walk out with this. Now, a bit more details on this. Shiv Chov Beis tells us a bit more details. Perefes b'Shabbes ala egois v'alo even sheichad to lekach v'tzis. But we're going a little bit off topic, not completely, slightly off topic. If you have this head covering and you want to have this hijab. You want to have this hijab around your face. Then it needs to have a certain weight. I don't know how to do it nowadays, but it needs a certain weight to keep it in the right place. So how do you keep it in the right place? So you could either take a little egois, or a stone, and you tie it on, and that would keep it in the right place, a certain weight. So Shulchan Aruch says goes now into Hilchos Muktzeh. Are you allowed to tie it with which items? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have a base. Perefes kesheres b'Shabbes ala egis v'ala even. You're allowed to do it with an egois, with an even, with a stone. Sheichad zolekach. If you have designated a stone for that, v'yoyit says, "Boy, you're allowed to walk out with it." Yes, you're allowed to, as long as you have designated this egois or this even, and you've designated it, you're allowed to walk out with it. It's fine. It's tying this head covering with it. That's permissible, as long as you've ichad to. Importantly, mishnebu sense of cotton ayin gimel sheichad zolekach miboid yoim. You have designated this item on Friday. Otherwise, if you just choose on Shabbos, you choose a stone. This lady says, "Oh, I need a weight to keep it down." And you're choosing a stone from the floor and you're tying it. And you say, "Oh, hold on a sec, this is muktzah." You're not allowed to do that. You're not to choose on Shabbos a stone and tie it on because this stone is muktzah. Random stone from the street is muktzah. However, if you've designated a stone before Shabbos and this has been set aside and tied to this head covering before Shabbos, then it's fine. Havolala matpea also lifoy b'Shabbos. But if it is a coin, a matpea, a coin, then you wouldn't be allowed to use it on Shabbos as head covering. Then with regards to a coin, even if you're machad, you're designating it on Erev Shabbos, he won't help. Because what's a coin for? A coin is also betiltul, and it doesn't help to designate it. A coin is a coin, and the coin will remain a coin. And therefore, even if that's the attachment, that's what you're tying this head covering with, it's going to be muktzeh, and it's going to be also. However, even with a coin, if what happened was that it was on your face tied before Shabbos, so you don't actually do anything on Shabbos, but it's been tied before Shabbos, and you walk out on Friday night with a tied, although it's the coin there, kavachoyim, the stone and the things which have been miyachet, but even with a coin, if it's been tied on you already before Shabbos, motolot says, but Shabbos is allowed to walk out with it. So again, you are allowed to be miyachet, melechat chel, allowed to designate a stone and to use that, and that's going to be motol melechat chel, even to use it on Shabbos, as long as you've designated it before Shabbos. With regards to a coin is a bit more complex because a coin, arguably, is intrinsically an item which is muktzah. Nichud won't help. So to choose a coin on Erev Shabbos, this 1 pound coin, that's what I'm going to be using to time, I think that's not good enough. Because the coin, at the end of the day, is a coin, and Nichud won't help for that. However, if you have tied it on your face before Shabbos with that coin, and you're just walking out with it, then it's okay, because you're not actually doing anything with it, and it's just hanging there and dangling, and it's there, it's tied up. So that's muktzah. Right, Seif Chav Gemer. I'm also trying to loyti egois livno. For part four of kedai loytiya im lerushus rabim also from the kamelis muta. Now, what happens if you want to take an egois or a stone, and that's the way you want to schlep it? This lady has a daughter, and she needs herself an egois on Evan. And now you can't. It's a Shabbos. You want to bring it to her. You want to bring this, you know, your daughter needs it, and she lives across the road on the other side of Edgware. Now, you can't take a stone into your pocket, obviously, and carry it. Could you use this stone now as a tying element of this head covering? That's how, what you're using it for. So you're using you're carrying the stone in a permissible way, but the reason why you think is not the reason why you're carrying it is to bring it to your daughter. Would that be permitted or not?
But in that case, has it actually been designated before Shabbos? Well, surely it might be also if it hadn't been designated.
So Shulchan Aruch teaches us here: Im hoisa tzrich ala hoitzi egois livno for parfol of kdei loitzioi. If you need im hoisa tzrich ala hoitzi egois livno, if you need it to be carried to your to her daughter for parfol of kdei loitzioi, and she covered her head with it in order to bring it to her. Here it is for public domain. Also, it remains also. But if it's for Karmelis, it's mutter. What's the reason for that? Mishnah Berurah of Cotton involved explains as follows, third white line. Also, it is also Medrabonon to do so. Although it is Derech Malbush, it's also. It's also between Rishus Rabbim. Ve'ein derech hotzo bekach mipnei shenireh kemaremes loitzi b'shabbos. This is because it's harom, cheating. You found a legal loophole here. What does she want to do? She wants to carry the stone to her daughter. She can't put it in the pocket. So instead of that, you're using it as a weight to tie the head covering. You found a legal loophole. Really, you're not allowed to do that. So now we're differentiating. If it's for Kamlis, which is the Rabbonon domain, it's Mutter. If it's for, if you're going to bring it on a Rishus Rabbim, which is a Torah Rishus Rabbim, then it's going to be also. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. Rabbi said this is a very important rule because actually there's a concept over here hidden, a very esoteric concept, which actually is even though Geat Hilchas Pesach, the concept of Haroma. Haroma is loosely translated as a legal loophole. Where do we do a legal loophole on Pesach? That's right, Mechiras Chometz. It may perhaps go into that discussion, according to some poskim it does. That we do Mechiras Chometz, which arguably, one could argue perhaps, that it is a legal loophole. Although it is a valid Mechira, let's not doubt it, it's a valid Mechira, and we are selling it. But at the same time, we all know that the guy is going to sell it back after Pesach, right? Last night, we all knew, we didn't double check that. We assumed that the goy sold us all the chometz back. So it's a legal transaction. Pardon?
He doesn't have to sell it back.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
He doesn't want to.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to.
Has that ever happened?
Has it ever happened? Well, a similar has happened. Reb Shlomo Kluge has a shaila that two shailas in Reb Shlomo Kluge, which I actually saw recently. One was that the goy died, and then there was a problem about that. He died in Chol HaMoed. The goy died in Chol HaMoed, which was a bit of a shaila because then, you know, there was no yoshim, and then what happens then? That's a bit similar to what you're referring to, and probably even more similar is that the goy ate up. It was a keli which had a wine merchant and beer merchants, and they sold over Pesach because they have some more. But they sold all the merchandise to the goy, and he liked it a lot. He liked it so much so that he was drinking far too much, and he could afford. So there was a serious chashash. There was a serious shaila. This is Shlomo Kluge that he wouldn't be able to. He wouldn't be able to sell it back.
He's entitled to drink it.
Well, he is entitled to bring it. He's entitled to bring it if he can afford paying it all. The way it works nowadays is that the goy doesn't actually pay everything on Erev Pesach. He does a prepayment. He does a down payment. He says, okay, listen, this is all worth £10,000. Okay, I don't have £10,000 with me now. I'm going to give you, we're going to do it on credit. I'm going to give you £500 now. I'm going to give you £500 now, and the rest, we'll negotiate it in a week or 2 weeks' time. We'll negotiate. In the meantime, on Motzei Pesach he's going to. But if we know, then he's not going to be able to
give it back.
Yeah.
But does he have to actually pay the money over?
Not the whole amount. He doesn't normally pay the whole amount.
Does the goy? So when the rabbi sells it to the goy,
yeah.
Does the goy actually have to give the rabbi?
He will give. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. 100%. I want to tell you something. It's very interesting because I was brought up, as you may know, I wasn't brought up here, yeah? I'm a foreigner. And I was brought up in the continent. And over there, Mechiras Chometz works very different. Because Mechiras Chometz Day is a very old-fashioned Mechira. I remember as a child, I've got very, very clear memories. I'm assuming it's still the same like this. That on Erev Pesach, it was done without the involvement of the Rav. It was in the shul hall. The goy was there. Mr. Gruzhik. And he was the goy, and people would go to him, and he would literally hand out cash. He would say, "What are you selling?" And he would literally hang out. He was given a, you know, he had literally thousands and thousands of Swiss francs, and he would go into the list. He would queue up. He was the most popular man on Erev Pesach in town. He felt like a king, and he would literally look at the list and say, "How much is this worth?" And he would hang out. He would give the cash. However much you said it was worth, he would give out the cash, and then he would ask for the keys. You had to absolutely. And then on Motzei Pesach, you had to queue up again. And here was, and he would say to the Chometz again. He always made some. You know, the Rav always said you have to make sure that he makes a profit, otherwise he's not going to do it next year again. So he made a profit. He made a certain a profit over the. No, it's a sale. He bought it for cheaper than what he's selling. So that was that. But yes, so it goes a little bit into that. So there also, the rule of thumb is that Haroma, whenever we do Haroma, legal loophole, it always goes that it's brought down in Gemaros. Whenever it's a Deraisa matter, we don't allow legal loopholes when it comes to Deraisa. Haroma, which is the translation of Haroma, is mutter when it's a Derabonon, but it is also when it's a Deraisa. And that's relevant to other areas of Halacha as well. But here's one example. So that makes enough commitments. So with regards to Mechiras Chometz, the question is as to whether it's a Deraisa or Derabonon. That's within the postkim discussed that in great detail, Hen Kama Koimer, but it will be toided on that. If it's a Deraisa, we're going to say that it's Mechiras Chometz, it's not going to work. If it's Derabonon, Haroma will work according to some postkim. But now, here we find again, this Haroma is cheating. She's carrying this stone not for her own head covering sake. She doesn't need it for the head covering. The only reason why she's carrying it over is because she wants to bring she needs to bring the stone over to her daughter. So now, if it's a Derabonon, it's a Carmelist, then it's Mutter. If it's a Deraisa, it's the Rosh Hashanah and Deraisa, then it's going to be Osu. And that's really a Yisoid that we need to remember, that Haroma by Deraisa is Mutter, by Derabonon is Mutter, Roma, but the Rama also.
Then the Shalom Yom Tov as well, when you're carrying something, you don't need it right now. So let's say you want to carry a sefer.
That's not Haroma. Not Mamash Haroma. That is just because Hoitzah is Mutter Letzoirich. So if you're using it, then it's considered Letzoirich. Yeah, you're saying.
You don't really need it, and you're just trying to.
Yeah, no, but Lemaisa, there we look at it much more poshut. That if actually using it, that's considered a use. Learning is always considered, or even making kiddush, whatever it is, you're using the machs, you're using the sefer, you're doing something with it, there's a positive purpose in it. So Lemaisa is considered a Tzoirich. It's not considered Haroma. But we do find, however, Haroma with regards to cooking on Shabbos, but that's not for now. Okay, cooking on Yom Tov, but that's not for now. So that's with regards to Sifchot Gimel, the Haroma with regards to Son. Sifchot Dalet. Yoit says, Be Even Tekuma. Even Tekuma, that is a special stone, which is back in fashion, I think, a little bit. And what is it? Peresh Och Even Yedua. It's a specific stone. Shekshir Leishon, when the woman carries that, or wears it rather, when the women have this stone, loy tapil, she will not miscarry, uvemishkol sheshoklu kenegdo kedei sheloy tapil, v'afidon lo nisabu adayin. This is a stone which helps against miscarriage, and a lady is allowed to walk out with it, afidon lo nisabu adayin, even if she's not nisabu at all. Nevertheless, this is a Even Tekuma, she had to walk out with Even Tekuma, which is a school against miscarriage. Mishnah Berurah says, what is this stone exactly? It's if cotton ein zayin, Even Tekuma, heinu mashon rekoirin, shtein shus. Rabbi say, it's not for nothing that there is over here some, there's no translation over here. Normally, the Mishnah Berurah editions, in various editions, they explain what the German translation, or the Yiddish translation means. Over here, it doesn't say it's a Taz, and it's not, I looked, I researched a little bit, nobody seems to explain it's a Taz, what the Stern Schuss is. So we're not quite sure what the Even Tekuma is. Have you ever heard of the Even Tekuma? People go out with Even Tekumas, no? I think that's back in fashion. People claim they know what it is. It would be permitted to walk out with this. Eben Tekuma. By the way, yeah. So, V'mishkal Afinu Nisabu Adayin. Now, Siv Chav Hei goes into a different topic, which is about powders on Shabbos, but powders and cosmetics on Shabbos. But I think we're going to leave that for now. So Rabbi, so we learned this evening, we spoke about the earrings. We spoke about the fact that it's mutter to walk, and the girls are allowed to go out with it. However, if it is a colored string, that would be also. We spoke about the veil, that it's mutter as well. We spoke about the stone, which is there as an attachment, which is not muktzeh, if you've been miyachad before Shabbos. We spoke about the fact that if you bring it for your daughter, by the way, Mishnah Berurah said it doesn't make a difference, it doesn't have to be a lady, it's what then ish as well. So if it's ish is the same. If she's bringing it for a daughter, then it depends as to whether it's a karmelis, which will be mutter, because she's rabban d'oraisa, it's a romer, and it's also. We spoke about Evan Tkuma, that's mutter as well. And we'll continue about the Sif Chav Hei, Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. Good evening.